You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Take a stroll around most cities or towns, and public art can give you a feel of a community's vibe. From murals to statues, elevated utility boxes, sidewalk pianos, the canvas is wide open to creative inspiration. But have you ever been struck by a piece of public art and wondered, who made it? How did it get there? Well, there is a story behind each piece of work. Ruth Finch is a student assistant here at CAP Radio and recently found herself obsessed with one particular piece of art outside the Clara Studios for the Arts in Midtown Sacramento. Perhaps you've seen it yourself. It is bright and bold. It's pretty hard to miss. So she went on a curiosity journey and shares the story behind her favorite piece. Well, Ruth, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So this story really just started with a statue that caught your eye. Take us to that moment. What stood out to you?
Yeah, so a lot of it was the bright color. It's like this big statue, and he has like a big yellow suit on, a bright polka dot tie, and he's bright orange. And he's right outside the Clara Center. He's about 7 feet tall. And according to Diana Argueta, operations manager at the Clara, he's a landmark for the center.
I would say that he's definitely like a really good marker for the building. So if I'm telling people like, oh, you know, the Clara building, and they're like, oh, I don't know, where is that? And I'm like, oh, you know, we have like a very bright yellow fox man out in the front. People are always like, oh, yeah, the fox. So he's kind of become someone who's well known.
Yeah, according to the center's executive director, Megan Wygant, they always watch him out their office window.
You'll see people come up, you see kids playing on him a little, you see people walking around him, you see a lot of selfies with him. And usually it's people who aren't aware they're being watched, and to be able to watch these people having this public art experience, it's kind of a very intimate, personal experience to just get to watch on a daily basis.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, and also 7 feet tall, hard to miss, bright colors of yellow and orange. Sacramento has a good amount of public art pieces, but why did this one become such a part of your life? Why did you keep thinking about it?
Well, I started seeing him more and more often when I actually started taking guitar lessons at the Clara. My boyfriend and I would talk about him sometimes, and we love this like air of mystery that he has. He feels like he's up to something.
He looks like a cartoon character, like he's the star of a show where he'd get up to a lot of hijinks and mischief.
Yeah, like kind of Looney Tunes or something like that. So why did you want to learn more about the statue and also the artist behind it?
Well, when I was talking about it with my boyfriend, he referred to it as a big orange dog, and I laughed. I told him that dogs aren't orange. He's sly. He's an orange dog. That's a fox. And if you remember from what Argueta said earlier, I was not alone in thinking that, although I didn't know it at the time. So being the know-it-all journalist girlfriend that I am, I looked it up just to say, I told you so, honestly.
I can identify with that. That resonates with me being a know-it-all journalist wife that I am. Okay, so when you did your research, what is this piece called? Who is the artist?
So the piece is called Homie Walking the Dogs by the late Gilbert Magoo Lujan. He was a big artist in the Chicano art movement in Los Angeles in the 70s, and he was part of a group called Los Four. They helped form this emerging art movement at the time.
And we're going to learn more about him in a few moments. But what was the discovery process like for you as you kept learning more and more and more as you went down this rabbit hole?
Well, there's a public art map for Sacramento. And I looked that up and I scrolled over to where the Clara Center was and I zoomed in. There's a little pin in the map there, and I clicked it and pulled up, and I found the name of the piece and the artist, and I started looking into his art more. He passed away in 2011, but I found an interview of him with the Smithsonian. I found out that UC Irvine had exhibited some of his work in 2017, and when I read the description of the exhibit, I found out that in his work, he would make all these characters that were anthropomorphized dogs. Not foxes. And I was wrong. That's kind of a girlfriend's worst nightmare.
Yeah, well, we can just keep that between the both of us, you know? You don't have to share that. So when did it actually make its way to Sacramento? How did it become a public art piece? And how did it end up at the Clara?
So it was originally placed at the Safe Credit Union Convention Center. There was this sculpture garden that was there. You can actually still kind of walk through the old garden if you want to. That's not there anymore. Just because the Google Street View took pictures in like 2016. But in 2018, it had to be moved. So And UC Irvine's art exhibit, which you can find photos of online, you can actually see one of the original sketches of the statue addressed to Linda Bloom, the head of what was then called the Sacramento Metropolitan Arts Commission, dated 1998. Megan Wygant said when the Arts and Public Places manager offered to place the sculpture in front of the Clara, she said yes without a second thought.
Yeah, I don't blame her. I think that was a good decision. And thank you, Ruth, for noticing this art piece, bringing it to our attention. Then we get to dive in even more.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. Cap Radio student assistant Ruth Finch just shared the story of her favorite public art piece outside the Clara Studios for the Arts in Midtown Sacramento, titled Homie, Walking the Dogs. Now we're going to learn more about the artist behind this work and bring in someone who knew Gilbert Magoo Lujan, Hal Glicksman, an American curator of contemporary art. Hal, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for inviting me.
So how did you first get to know Gilbert Magoo Lujan?
I was the director of the art gallery at Irvine. It was a new gallery in a new university in a new city, and it was devoted to the modern art of the time, which was mostly abstract art, geometric abstraction, and light and space, things like that. And I was the one who showed that more than anyone else, and so I was invited to be the gallery director. And Gilbert was a student there as a graduate student, and he invited me to a class presentation that his sculpture class had created. And the assignment they were given, it was all about building geometric shapes. And they decided that each student would build a cube out of plywood and paint it red so that they would learn to use the table saws, which were new. It was kind of like a carpenter shop, really. And then they would take these cubes and each student would make the total number of cubes into a sculpture by arranging them on the floor and things like that. So I was invited in to see that when it was done, and the students started working with it. And Gilbert showed me his square was the same cube when you looked at it, but if you looked around behind, there was a dog head added to the back of the square with just a few triangles of wood, very simple, very carefully blended in with the red cube. And I thought that was fantastic. I thought he was a very clever guy. So he came to meet me later on, and he asked me why I had shown a few years before a graffiti show. And I told him that I drove around the city and I saw this graffiti, and it was really different from things going on other places in the country. In New York, they had colored bubbles on the side of the train cars and things like that. But this was very carefully created new kind of calligraphy. They invented letter forms and they repeated them irregularly, and they were very, very clever. And so I photographed them, and my students photographed them, and some other people started collecting these graffiti pictures. So I did a show of those, and it was in another gallery. There was an empty room with blue light and a light space in the same exhibition in another part of the gallery. So anyway, he asked me what I would do more with Chicano art. And I said, well, I love to drive around and see a house covered with car parts and ofrendas and things like that. But I don't have any way to get those and make them into an exhibition because they're, you know, it's just not part of my culture to walk into someone's house and ask him to do an ofrenda and stuff. And he said, well, could I put something together and do art, make it into art? And I said, well, how would you do that? And he says, well, let me ask some friends and we'll put an idea together. So he came with a list of people a few days later, and these were all people I knew who were not Chicano artists. They were mainstream artists, but they were Chicanos. And it was Carlos Almaraz, who was a really wonderful, he'd had a show in New York of geometric paintings, and he was on his way to have a mainstream career as a minimal artist. And Frank Romero was actually known to me for several years. He designed catalogs for corporate annual reports and museum exhibitions. He did three catalogs for me that were absolutely modern art, you know. And then Beto de la Rocha was the master printer at Gemini Workshop, which was the best lithographic workshop in the entire art world, was in L.A., and he was the master printer there. But his mission in life was to revive the Day of the Dead by getting people to go to Evergreen Cemetery on All Saints Day and do ofrendas in their family plot. And so those four were going to do something together. And
is that the Los Four Artists Collective? Did they make up that collective?
That became Los Four. But they didn't have a style. They didn't do Chicano painting. So they came to Irvine in the summer when the studios were free, and they spent a week in a big studio painting graffiti paintings. And what they did is they sprayed graffiti and did some felt pens, but mostly airbrush. And then they would paint over each other's work day after day until the painting was thick with paint. It looked like a Jackson Pollock, you know, splash and drip painting, but it was graffiti. And this was really clever, and we thought this would be great. So we had the Los Four show, and which was really success. So they had a big ofrenda, and they had several of these really big paintings. And then Gilbert had some of his animals and things like that in another little part. And I got a call from the Los Angeles County Museum, a curator named Jane Livingston. And she said, why did you do a graffiti show? Why did you do a Chicano show? You don't do those kind of things. And I said, no, this is really clever. This is really good. And she was sort of funny. I couldn't imagine what she was asking me. And it turned out that she had been assigned by one of the board of supervisors that ran the, you know, they were the bosses of the museum, essentially. Would they do a show for the Hispanic community in LA? Something. They didn't know what. And she said, is this a good one? She came down to see it, and she fell in love with it and booked it into the Los Angeles County Museum. So it was in Irvine in 73, and it was in LA County in 74. And it was such a hit that one of the lawyer called the Bay Area, the LA Lawyers for the Arts, He went to the museum director and says, this is great. Give it more space. So they took down big color field paintings from an adjacent gallery and doubled the size of the show. And the artists moved in for a week. Mm-hmm. And people came and went as they were putting the show up. It was really fun. And then when they had the opening, the museum was full of families and kids and stuff that had never been to the museum before. And the director of the museum sort of walked around, sort of scared. I don't know what he thought of this completely different audience for this stuff.
That's amazing. So, I mean, just the trajectory of Gilbert's work and the collective Los Four. I mean, we're talking to you because one of Gilbert's pieces, it's a public art piece in Sacramento. You know, you don't always have to go to a museum to take in art and creative expression. What do you like about having public art pieces in cities and towns, you know, throughout the country and even the world?
Well, there should be more of it, that's for sure. Actually, most of what you would call public art is art parks. You know, they put them in the, okay, we're going to have this particular park is going to be full of sculpture. But I prefer it to just to be scattered around like that, like you say, while you see it as you're driving around.
Where did his nickname Magoo come from?
That's a great story. He went with a high school class to the county museum. And he stood in front of each painting up close, looking at the brushwork. And his people in the class called him Magoo because there was a popular cartoon character called Mr. Magoo, who was nearsighted. And his stick was he came and looked at everything up close. So he became Magoo because of that.
I mean, it just seems like just listening to you retell that journey, that it really had a profound impact on you as well. Gilbert Lujan passed away in 2011. I guess when you reflect on your time with him, you know, how did he shape how you experience art?
Oh, me? Yeah, it did open me to more things. I always showed this contemporary minimal light and space art, but I tried to do other things that would be an offset to that, and the Chicano art was really the best of those kind of things. It really was.
Well, Hal, thank you so much for stopping by and taking us a trip down memory lane. It was really interesting learning about the history behind an artist, behind a public art piece here in Sacramento.
Oh, yes. I would like your audience, if they're interested, just to Google Gilbert Lujan and do, you know, you can check on images. And there's pages and pages of beautiful stuff will show up.
Yeah, we've really enjoyed looking at them, preparing for this conversation. Hal, thank you so much for joining us on Insight.
Good. I'm glad you invited me.
Hal Glicksman is an American curator of contemporary art, also an educator, and he helped curate the show Aztlan to Magulandia, that is the journey of Chicano artist Gilbert Magoo Lujan, and he knew the artist personally. You can see the late Lujan's work in Midtown Sacramento. His public art piece, Homie, Walking the Dogs, can be seen outside the Clara Studios for the Arts. Still ahead, starting a business may start with just one person, but it often takes a village to become a success. An organization in the Sacramento Valley joins us about helping women entrepreneurs. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.